Thank you, Marshall, for those songs. I forgot to say it earlier, but welcome to the visitors this morning. We have visitors from all the way down in York now, I guess, right? Some of you might not know. I don't know whether the picture's still up there or not, but very glad to have with us also this morning Phil and Lisa Hollinger. So I'm going to ask you to get up and pray for Brian because he's having the devotion of the sermon this morning. Would you do that? All right.
Let's pray. Father, just thank you for being a good father and just watching over our lives, and Lord, just the songs and devotions this morning that we can sit at your feet, and Lord, we can hear your heart, and Lord, I just pray that we could do that this morning through Brian and what you've laid on his heart. Lord, just may your spirit lead him and bless him and give us soft and open hearts to your word this morning. Just come and speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Doing all right until I walked upstairs and I saw Phil standing here, and all of a sudden I got nervous. But we'll make it through. So this morning I have no idea how to start. I got a lot of information. I practiced, stood in front of my mirror at home. I walked around, I practiced. 51 minutes later, I finally got done. But it's all discombobulated in my head. But we'll figure it out. I had a preacher tell me one time, he goes, "Brian, preaching's easy. All you got to do is talk to the people." So this morning, I'm just going to talk to my friends. What we're going to talk about this morning is the brain and how it acts and our minds. And I'm going to start with this question. Do you ever feel powerless? I'm going to say that word a lot, and I have to really concentrate to get it out correctly, so you'll just have to assume. Do I need it higher? Is it on? It says it's on. That sound better? All right. So all the teachers want me to repeat everything I just said, so it takes a little longer before we get to the end. But I'm not going to. Sorry about that. So have you ever felt powerless over a substance or a situation? Kind of what we're going to be exploring here this morning. Back many years, one of the reasons that I came up with this, or when Josh asked me to preach, the first thought I had was to preach on that phrase, "Take every thought captive." And so I was talking with my accountability partners. I meet with three other guys. We started back in 2017. And back in 2017, we all had our own separate journeys that we're on, but they kind of all led to we need accountability. And so a lot of books were read, a lot of things were set across the table, and one of the things, one of the books that was read was Surfing for God. And they talked about the brain and how the brain works with habits and addictions. And so that's a little bit. Some of my information came from that book, and that was one of the questions in it. So it's talking about the book itself is about porn and sex addiction. That's what the book is about. But there's enough phrases in there that the principles that he's writing about can be for any type of addiction or habit that we start. And some habits are good habits, some habits are bad habits. But that's where we're at this morning. So I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you can, to Mark chapter 12. Mark 12, we're going to read verses 28 through 34. Well, before we get there, the powerless feeling. I have a couple examples of that. One of them is, for myself, is with food. I had worked at Musselman Lumber for many years, and I had a friend there that she could open up a bag of pretzels and sit it on her desk. And 3 hours later, that open bag would still be there. For me, if I'd take a bag of pretzels or a bag of chips, one of those snack bags, and I would open it up, the only reason it would last 10 minutes on my desk is because I got a phone call that lasted 8 minutes. So, you know, we could put a dozen donuts back on the back counter. I could walk past them donuts all day long as I didn't eat any of it. I was fine. I could walk past it. As soon as I took one bite, every time I went past that box of donuts, it felt like I needed it. It was a huge temptation just reach in and take another one. So I eventually got to the point where I'd cut it in half or cut it in quarters. You know, by the end of the day, I still had 2 donuts eaten. I should have just grabbed 2 donuts to start with and ate them. But that's what I mean by feeling powerless. Mark chapter 12, verse 28. Jesus is talking to the religious leaders. And the previous part of this, they just got done asking him about the resurrections. And so here's a young scribe that comes, and I think he asks a genuine question to Jesus. This wasn't trying to trap him. This wasn't a mean question. This was, I want to learn. 28. Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. So the scribe said to him, well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth. For there is one God, and there is no other but he. And to love him with all your heart, with all understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Now when Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. But after that, no one dared to question him. So Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. The scribe basically repeated everything that Jesus said. And Jesus' response was, you are not far from the kingdom of God. What's the difference? He just basically said everything that Jesus, he repeated almost word for word back what Jesus said. And Jesus said, you're not quite there yet. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Scribe said, with all your heart. Jesus said, with all your soul. Scribe said, with all understanding. Jesus said, with all your strength. Scribe said, with all your strength. And Jesus also said, love the Lord your God with all your mind. And it's not what the scribe said. The scribe left that one out. So how do we love the Lord our God with all our mind? See, I can stand up here, and as long as I don't say anything, you guys have no idea what I'm thinking. And I can look out, and I can see, and I have no, well, Tyler's thinking when's lunch, but other than that, I have no idea what y'all are thinking. Which is good, because if we had those little bubbles that said what we were thinking, we'd all be in a lot of trouble. I don't know that I'd be married anymore. I think she would have kicked me out a long time ago, but fortunately, we don't have those bubbles. So let's go back to the first question. Do you ever feel powerless over something? And there are a lot of things that fall into this category, into addictions and habits. So we got substances, things like drugs, alcohol, nicotine, which includes tobacco and vaping, caffeine, energy drinks, soda, coffee, tea, sugar, food. These are all things we can be addicted to. Now, they're not all sin. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that drinking coffee is a sin. Now, maybe if you drink a pot of coffee by 8 o'clock in the morning and you only woke up at 7:30, it might be a habit you want to change. But it's not a sin. But then we also got non-substance type of things that we struggle with. Porn and sex, gambling, social media, screen time, anxiety, shopping, gossip, being a workaholic. You know, all of them can be addictions and habits. They use the same pathways in the brain. They use the same chemicals to talk with your brain and for your body to act. And I wasn't sure about anxiety, but I looked it up. And here's from a doctor, Judith Orloff. She said, to quiet anxiety and turn off your fight or flight response, it's important to retrain your brain to send chemicals to counteract this powerful biological response. Otherwise, anxiety can become an addiction. So now we have a whole bunch of things, and probably we all fall into at least one of those categories. Some of us maybe two or three or four of those categories. So it's all about the brain. Some interesting facts on the brain. The typical brain comprises 2% of the body's total weight, but uses only 20% of the total energy and oxygen intake. This one I found interesting. Your brain is 73% water. It only takes 2% dehydration to affect your attention, memory, and other cognitive skills. So therefore, I'm going to go on a health kick here. Therefore, drink water. Coffee, energy drinks, sodas, alcohol, they don't hydrate. The brain weighs about 3 pounds. 60% of the dry weight is fat, making the brain the most fatty organ in the body. 25% of the body's cholesterol resides within the brain. Cholesterol is an integral part of every brain cell. Without adequate cholesterol, brain cells die. More bacon. That's what that says right there. More bacon in the morning. No one knows for sure, but the latest estimate is that the brain contains roughly 86 billion brain cells. Each neuron can transmit 1,000 nerve impulses per second and make as many as tens of thousands of synaptic contacts with other neurons. A parent can attest, teenage brains are not fully formed. It isn't until the age of 25 that the human brain reaches full maturity. See, the brain creates pathways, and it uses the path of least resistance, and we start training the brain in those pathways back when babies are little. And as they grow, they continue to use the easiest pathway. That's why it's the phrase, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. That's a lot of it right there. But we're going to find out later, we can teach old dogs new tricks, or we can teach us new tricks. The brain can generate up to 48.5 0.6 thoughts per minute. So that averages out to 70,000 thoughts per day. I'm tired just thinking about that one. Every minute, 750 to 1,000 milliliters of blood flows through the brain. So in context, a bottle of wine, most bottles of wine are 750 milliliters. So that's how much blood is going through your brain every minute. Ladies will like this one. In general, the men's brains are 10% bigger than women's, even after taking into account the larger body size. However, the hippocampus, the part of the brain most strongly linked to memory, is typically larger in women. That's why us men don't remember everything or anything. So you just, it's biology. Cut us a break. So how many people out there think that they can multitask? Technology has forced most of us into prodigious multitaskers, but your brain can't learn or concentrate on two things at once. What it can do quickly is toggle back and forth between the tasks, but doing so decreases your attention span, ability to learn, short-term memory, and overall mental performance. It even temporarily decreases IQ by up to 15 points. So use people, that think that you can multitask better than other people, you're just not as smart because you're lowering your IQ. Unexpectedly, millennials, which are ages 18 to 34, are more forgetful than their baby boomers. They're more likely to forget what day it is or where they put their keys than their parents. There are over 140 proteins in the brain. Over 140 proteins in the brain are negatively impacted by exposure to electromagnetic frequencies, the kind emitted by your cell phone and other electronic devices. So I guess we need to go back to the phone on the wall, the push button. I was in a house the other day, and I actually saw one of the old phones with push buttons on it, and it actually worked. And she was telling me how her teenage daughter says, "Mom, it's antiquated. You need to get rid of it." "No, no, we'll keep it," she says. So they still have it. I still saw it. The popular myth that we only use 10% of our brains is wrong. Brains are scans clearly show that we use most of our brain most of the time, even when we're sleeping. So when you wake up and you're feeling tired all the time, it's because you're thinking while you're sleeping. Now you have an excuse. You school-age students can use that one. Say, "I'm tired because I was thinking while I was sleeping." Playing or even just listening to music can make you smarter, happier, healthy, and more productive at all stages of life. Contrary to prevailing medical belief, having a high total cholesterol is not bad for your brain. In fact, your brain consists of fat and cholesterol, and having high cholesterol has been found to actually reduce your risk of dementia. More bacon again. Until recently, it was a fact that you were born with a set level of intelligence and a number of brain cells that could never be changed. This is important, so pay attention to this one. Until recently, it was a fact that you were born with a set level of intelligence and a number of brain cells that could never be changed. But it has since been discovered that your brain has the capacity to change throughout your lifetime due to a property known as brain plasticity. The brain can continue to form new brain cells via the process known as neurogenesis. That should be exciting to most of us. I've got about 70 of these things. I'm just trying to speed things along and pick through them. Your brain has a pattern of connectivity as unique as your fingerprints. The human's brain tissue is not dense. It's very fragile, soft and squishy. Similar to the consistency of tofu or gelatin. So I would ask for a raise of hands, but I'm not going to. But how many of you have ever looked in the mirror or just said, you're stupid, talking to yourself? I'm about ready to read to you why you're not stupid. We're going to compare the human brain to a computer. Your brain's storage capacity is considered virtually unlimited. It doesn't get used up like RAM in your computer, the memory function in your computer. The latest research shows that the brain's memory capacity is in the petabyte range. A petabyte is a quadrillion, or 10 to the 15th power. That's a lot of zeros behind the 10 in layman's terms. It's like 15 zeros or something like that. Astoundingly, this is about the same amount needed to store the entire internet. So your brain has enough storage in it to store the entire internet. Not that I would suggest doing that. The human brain is capable of 10 to the 16th power processes per second. So that's over a quadrillion processes per second, which makes it far more powerful than any existing computers. Researchers involved in the AI Impacts Project had developed a way to compare supercomputers to brains by measuring how fast a computer can move information around within its own system. By this standard, the human brain is 30 times more powerful than the IBM Sequoia, one of the world's fastest supercomputers. It's pretty impressive. Japan's K computer is one of the most powerful computers in the world. When programmed to simulate human brain activity, it took 40 minutes to crunch the data equivalent to just 1 second of brain activity. That's all I see out here, smart people. You're not stupid. You just have different things to think about than what you probably should be thinking about. That's all that is. Our brains are awesome. Of the thousands of thoughts a person has every day, it is estimated that 70% of this mental chatter is negative, self-critical, pessimistic, or fearful. 70% of our thoughts. It's estimated, 70%. And I will propose to you this morning that that's one of the reasons that people look at us Christians and they say you're different. And it's because I don't think we think 70% negative thoughts. I think it's the other way around. I think we have 70% positive thoughts. And so it's easy to walk around with a pleasant look on our face. And it's easy to say good morning. And it's easy to be happy. If I would think 70% thoughts negative, I'm stupid, I'm ugly, I'm fat, I'm a moron. I said that on occasion. I think I'd be grumpy most days as well. You think you're in control? Don't be so sure. 95% of your decisions take place in your subconscious minds. Our brains crave mental stimulation, sometimes to a fault. One study shows men especially would rather give themselves the electrical shocks than to sit quietly in a room and have to think. And you can laugh. That one's actually pretty funny. But how many of us? I get into a lot of houses, and it's amazing how many of them have the TV on. They're not necessarily watching it. They're doing the dishes. They're sitting over there. They're doing whatever. But the TV is on. I walk in. There it is. They got the news on, telling all the latest and greatest about COVID. And I'm guessing it's on all day long. And how many of us have music on in our house all day long and we never turn it off? It's a challenge. And this book, Surfing for God, when he counsels men one of the assignments that he gives them is to get in a room where you have zero distractions and you pray and you just allow God to talk. Most of the time, the story goes a little like this. The first time they come out, it's like, I couldn't concentrate. I mean, it was a waste of 20 minutes. Second time comes out, well, I was able to concentrate a little longer. And then he says, the third or fourth time normally is, pray. Ask God to speak to you. What does God want to say? And he goes, and then you start. Then you start hearing God speak to you. One of the challenges this morning is turn off the noise. God, what would you have for me to hear this morning or today or this evening or at lunch? But get in your own little room. I was listening to that part of the book, and it's like, man, I'm not sure I could do that. I haven't yet. But I will sometime. The brain in your head isn't your only brain. There's a second brain in your intestines that contains 100 million neurons. Gut bacteria are responsible for making up over 30 neurotransmitters, including the happy molecule serotonin. That's why it's important to eat correctly. Pay attention to your diet. Users of Apple devices really are different than those who use Android electronics. MRIs reveal that Apple products stimulate the God spot, God with a little G, the God spot in the user's brains, and that's the same part of the brain activated by religious imagery in people of faith. So there's some of the fun activities, and I guess I have an iPhone too, so I guess I got to throw it away and get the Android. I don't know if I can do that. The pathway in my brain says I need to use an iPhone. There are chemicals in the brain, and one of the ways the brain talks with itself is you got chemicals, and you got stationary things, and you got synapses and neurogenesis and all those big words, but it's basically the chemicals flash back and forth between contact points, and it tells you the way, it gives you your moods. I'm going to talk about four of them this morning just briefly. Dopamine, I think we all know that one, is a chemical in the brain that is associated with pleasure and the reward centers of the brains. And that is why our cell phones are so dangerous to us, especially the gaming apps that are on them. Just because it gives you that reward center. You know, if I play just a little bit longer, I'm going to get that next chest. I'm going to be able to open it up. If I play just a little bit longer, it's going to give me a surprise and woohoo, you know. And so it keeps feeding on that. And all of a sudden, 5 hours later on a Sunday afternoon, it's time for supper and you did absolutely nothing except open 15 chests and get a lot of points for whatever game you're playing. Serotonin is the chemical associated with rest and sleep. However, it's also associated with our moods and even hunger. Glutamate is associated with learning, memory, and feelings of excitement. If you pay attention to food, you know they put a product in our food called MSG, monosodium glutamate. Makes the food taste better. If the food tastes better, you eat more. You eat more and it tastes really good, you buy more. And they make more money. Here's a big word. Norepinephrine acts as both a neurotransmitter as well as a hormone. Norepinephrine is a stress-responsible chemical that creates the fight or flight response when we are feeling stressed out. The neuropathways in the brain begin to solidify by age 25. However, new neuropathways can be created with a bit of effort. By challenging oneself and taking on new habits, you can grow more neurons and create new pathways. Out of everything I said this morning, up to this point, that's the most important one right there. Because if you struggle and you feel powerless, that right there is exciting news. Because we can retrain the brain. You can retrain your brain. Now, it's not easy. It's not like we just flip a switch. It's not like say this prayer 10 times. It's not. It's work. But you can have power over whatever your vice is. Some are easier than others. I'm not, that's true. I would think being able to quit coffee and caffeine is a whole lot easier than quitting nicotine and drugs and alcohol. I haven't dealt with the drugs and alcohol. I do enjoy coffee. It turns out that we as human beings develop neuropathways, and the more we use those neuropathways over the years and years and years, they become very stuck and deeply embedded, moving into deeper portions of the brain. This is by an MIT professor. By the time we hit age 25, we have so many existing pathways that our brain relies on that it's hard to break them. If you really want to mess with people, next Sunday, this side get here early and sit over on that side. And then you watch this side sit over here and whisper back and forth to each other saying, "What's going on?" That's a pathway in your brain. Pathways aren't all bad. They're really not all bad. So how do we create new pathways in the brain? We have four things. First of all, exercise. You need to try any energy-intensive challenges that require conscious processing of inputs. Depending on the complexity of the activity, it takes 4.5 months to 3 months to create a new brain map equal in complexity to the old one to be created in the motor cortex. So if you have a habit from the time you were 5 years old and you're now 50 years old, it's going to take a long time to retrain or to create a new pathway in your brain. We had a shed down back. Still have that shed down back. And we had our cat down there, and we had some kittens or chickens down there, and kittens were down there. And I saw the squiggly little line going through the grass. I was like, "Girls, we don't have to walk the same path every day to get down there. We're creating a path that's soon going to be dirt. Walk different ways." And Ruby tells me it's not us, it's the cat. I'm like, "Wait a minute, how can a cat?" And I watched that cat walk up, and it walked in the exact same spot, the exact path, every time it came up. And it was straight, and it just did a little dipsy-doo like that, and straight, and then around this way a little bit, and around that way. It's like, why it couldn't do a straight line, I'll never know. But it followed the same path the whole way up through. Four points. First one, exercise. Exercise is food for the brain. The brain is capable of neurogenesis, especially in the hippocampus and cerebral ventricles. And yes, exercise stimulates this growth. In addition, exercise increases the brain's baseline activity, which also stimulates cellular growth. Number one, exercise. Number two, Make a plan. Say you want to lose some weight, or you have a problem with eating. Make a plan. If you just wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to lose weight, and I'm not going to tell anybody, it's not going to work. You can also make a plan that goes like this. I'm going to cut back on food. I'm going to cut back on the vegetables and keep the desserts. Yeah. I'll eat less food, and I'll lose weight. And I can't argue that that's not a plan. It's just an incomplete plan, or it's a bad plan. Make a plan. Sit down. Write something out that makes sense. Number three, take every thought captive. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 6. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Take every thought captive and recognize the spiritual warfare that's going on. Ephesians 6, 10 through 12. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Recognize that our temptations are part of spiritual warfare. I'm reading a book from the past by Frank Peretti, This Present Darkness. And it's a book about spiritual warfare, and it has the angels, and it has the demons, and it has the town, and its plot, and it's a fictional book. But I think it gives a picture of what spiritual warfare might actually look like. Be ready to pray against the temptations, the demons that are there. You know, sometimes I think we need that little, you know, we had the cherubim on the one side, and we had the little red guy with the horns and the pitchfork on the other guy. Maybe if we would actually see that visual a little more often, when we hear that temptation in our head, hey, there's a garage sale, let's go buy something. And if we can visualize that, you know, maybe I need to keep driving. Hey, there's another donut, let's go grab one more, that'll make six for the day, that's not a problem. And you visualize that. I have a friend, one of the guys that I sit with, whenever he's tempted, he starts to pray for his wife. And he goes, you know, it's amazing how fast the temptation flees when you start praying. So he's tempted to look at something he shouldn't. And the devil's looking to tear apart the marriage. And instead, he has trained himself to pray for his wife. And so now, the devil's not only not tearing the marriage apart, he's an integral part of building the marriage up. And so when that happens, the devil flees. One more point, this is the most important. And it has two parts to it, and I'm not sure which part is more important. It's kind of like the chicken and the egg. And that is this, you need to tell somebody. If you do it all on your own, I have yet to hear of a guy, and I know a bunch, that has beat porn all by himself. That he said, I'm going to do it all on my own. The guys I'm talking about all have said that for years, and it wasn't until they told somebody. It wasn't until they got help. So what's the power in that? The power is this, James 5. James 5:16, confess your trespasses one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The power in telling somebody is the prayers of your friends. Let's go back a little earlier in James, because he says it twice, within a couple verses. I'm going to read James 5:13 through 18. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith will save the sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man of nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years, 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Twice, the prayer of the faith will save the sick, and fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. By you telling somebody, you are calling on the power of your friend's prayer. So I'm not sure which is the most important. Is the most important actually telling somebody, or is it more important for that somebody to pray? So sometimes it is who you tell. If you tell a person and they don't pray for you, or they don't want you to help, or you tell a peer, if you're a young person, you tell a peer, and they're struggling with the same things, you soon feed on each other. Tell somebody. And it's hard. I've experienced it. It's hard. I was sitting in small group many, many years ago, and I was going to lay it all out for them. And I started, and the leader interrupted me just to tell me I'm not alone, or I forget what all he said. But then somebody else said something, and that fast, the moment was gone. I had the courage for a split second to share it all, and it was gone. It took a long time after that until I was able to tell somebody. And I did pick somebody that I barely knew. But thank God, I'm free. And I was able to retrain my brain. And it's possible to retrain your brain. And sometimes it's not about a sin. Because what I mentioned today isn't all sin. Sometimes maybe God just wants you to quit your coffee habit. I'm sorry, I keep bringing up coffee. Maybe it's shopping. You just go every day, and every time you go shopping, you just buy a little something. But maybe God just wants you to break that habit so you can bring your body into subjectivity. My prayer this morning is that God will have given you the courage to tell somebody, to give you the courage to be able to move on, and that you would at least have a couple tools. This isn't exhaustive. This only gets you started. In a game of baseball, this barely gets you out of the batter's box. It doesn't get you around the first base or second base or anything like that. It's just enough to get you started. So my prayer is that you would have the courage to get started and to start changing the pathways in your brain, because it's possible. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you this morning for being with us, for meeting us here. And Lord, as we looked at some habits, some addictions, the way the brain works, the understanding that we can change it through discipline and hard work and prayers and searching our souls and being quiet before you. Just thank you for giving us that opportunity one more time. so that we can sit at your feet and we can learn from you. Lord, we just thank you for that. Lord, I just ask that you'd be with all those out in Indiana traveling home today. Keep them safe. Lord, just thank you again for this time. Amen.